in. Jerry says he has a Sunday humor for us this morning. Yes, we missed it, Jerry. I can't fill those shoes, so go for it.
In the beginning, God created earth and rested. Then God created man and rested. Then God created woman, and neither God nor man has rested since.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Just okay. So, we all know that we've heard it said that God is the shepherd and we are the sheep. So this morning, the message that I have, I'm going to touch on different ways that maybe we haven't thought of, different relationships are part of the relationships that we have with God, who is the shepherd, and us as the sheep. There's different things that are involved in that relationship. So we're going to touch on those, a variety of those different things. But I'm going to use a type of metaphor. Of course, it would be the sheep and the shepherd. So I'm going to start with this first story about this silly sheep who disliked being sheared. He hated being sheared so much that he hid himself in a cave for 6 consecutive seasons so that he would not have to go through the ordeal of being sheared. Now, because of that, because he hid himself, what happens? Of course, the wool keeps growing and growing and growing. So again, after 6 consecutive seasons, he had gained over 60 pounds of nothing but wool, extra 60 pounds on his body. What's that cause? That causes the sheep to what? It weighs him down. It also stops him from moving a lot more freely. It takes his energy. It affects him in so many different ways. He finally gave up. And he allowed them to shear him, even though he knew that when he got sheared, because he waited so long, it was probably going to be very uncomfortable and it was going to be very painful. Now, you know, as I was putting this message together, as pastors do, we always say, Lord, are you sure this is the message you want? Are you sure this is what you want me to do, you know, tomorrow or Sunday or whatever? Well, last night I had to laugh. Before I go to bed, of course, I read, you know, I'm always reading in the morning before I get up for an hour, and an hour before I go to sleep, I usually, you know, am reading. Well, just before I started reading, I ran across this, like an advertisement thing. And what it was talking about is this organization that saves animals that have been neglected. You know, you hear that thing on TV about the dogs, and right around Christmas, you see it more than any time, that they go in and they save these dogs, and you see the dogs in these cages or chained to a tree in snow, and he's shaking. Well, this organization had found a sheep, and they showed a little video of them shearing this poor sheep. This, I think they said it was probably about 4 or 5 seasons where the sheep had not been sheared. And she says as she's trying to find an opening to where she could start shearing him, that the wool was so matted that she couldn't even separate the wool. I mean, it was like cardboard. It was so matted and so, you know, it was so glued together that she said, I literally had to dig a hole in between the wool and pull it apart so that I could get in there with a shear and start shearing the wool off of the sheep. They also showed a video of, and I wish I didn't know this, I think it's llamas. I think it was a llama. Some llamas grow their hair, and they also need to be sheared. And they showed a video of shearing this llama. So anyway, I say all that to say this, that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant. So we know that, you know, what that sheep was going to go through wasn't going to be pleasant. So it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. What's by it? What are they talking about by it? They're talking about discipline. We are trained to go the right direction when God comes in and disciplines us. So that's what it's saying there. It's saying, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So what was the sheep's harvest? What kind of harvest did he receive once he was sheared after six seasons? Well, his harvest was freedom. His harvest was he wasn't sweating. He could freely move about. And the thing is, he put himself in that position. So we need to look at that as the sheep and the shepherd. You know, we find ourselves, we put ourselves sometimes where we're at. But as sheep, we go to the shepherd and say, get me out of this mess I put myself in. And that's what that sheep did. He put himself there. So the sheep's harvest was freedom from that extra weight. So this harvest, be it us or the sheep, requires a process that can be, what we said, comfortable or uncomfortable when it comes to shearing or disciplining. So when we get disciplined by the Lord, we're going to find that sometimes it's uncomfortable, maybe humbling, maybe painful. And just as our earthly father disciplines his child, that's what our heavenly father does. And the father practices what he preaches in his word, because in Proverbs 22, it says, bring up a child in the way he should grow, and when he grows older, he shall not depart from it. So the father is doing what he says he wants us to do. He comes and he disciplines us. He gets us focused, our focus off of, first off, what we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. Then comes Satan, who wants to throw guilt on us because of what we've done. So God still also is still working when we carry that guilt. He's trying to get us off of what we've done. He's trying to get our focus off of the guilt that Satan tries to throw on us. And then he tries to have us focus on what he has for us. So that's one way that we see that there is a sheep and a shepherd relationship. Just as the sheep allowed the shearer to remove the wool that weighed him down, we also would want the Father to discipline us and correct us. And what does it do? It removes the weights that sometimes we put upon ourselves. Sometimes we don't, but sometimes we do. Because when we have that, we carry that weight around, what to do? Like the sheep, it slows us down. It also trips us up. It might make us cause to step back. But during that time, when we're stepping back, we need to ask ourselves, are we trusting God? You know, part of the study that I did on this, they say sometimes when we're getting disciplined, we might see it as a trial instead of a discipline. And so we find ourselves going, Lord, am I supposed to learn something from this? Is this a discipline situation? Am I supposed to learn something from this? Or is this a trial so that I can grow from it? So either way, we can learn from whatever it is, whether it's a discipline or whether it's a trial. And I brought that up simply because we all get there. We've all been there to say, I'm not sure, God, are you disciplining me here? Or is this a time of, you know, am I supposed to learn something here? So, but that's, don't get caught up in that. Just know that he is the shepherd and that you are the sheep. So in its place, when we allow the shepherd to discipline us, what are we going to receive? What kind of harvest are we going to receive? We're going to receive righteousness and peace. How many of us, raise your hands, know what I'm talking about when I say, yeah, I know of a time that I needed the shepherd to help me get my act together. And when he did help me, I received what? Righteousness and peace. How many of us can say this morning that through a situation, I received righteousness and peace? Okay. I would say 99.9% of us. So let's go on to Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if the Lord is our shepherd, then that, what's it make us? His sheep, right? It's not written in black and white there, but it's telling us that certainly if he's the shepherd, then we must be the sheep. Did you know that Psalms 23, verse 1 is one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible? One of the many, but we hear it a lot. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This verse also tells us that not only is he our shepherd, but through this verse, through this chapter, chapter of 23, it talks about God cares for us, God provides for us, God guides us, and he protects us. That's a relationship. That's what the shepherd wants with his sheep, is a relationship. Because that's what the shepherd does. He cares, he shares, he guides, he protects, he provides. Because we as sheep wander off. We wander off, we get led astray, we have all these temptations coming at us every single day. And to top it off, when we were younger, how many of us, when some of you are on Facebook, they have these little captions where it says, when I was a kid, we played outside till the lights went on the streets. When I was young, we were told to go outside and play, and then when it's time for supper, come on in. And you always found something to do. Today, there's so much technology that it takes everything you got to get a kid to go outside. But the point being is this, is when they get this technology, there's so much coming at them. I mean, from this is the way you should look, this is the way you should wear, this is what you should say, this is what you should think. You know, all of this, besides when they go to school, they hear the same stuff. Or from their peers. They get this constant feed coming into them. So the Father is aware that, you know, when he sent his son Jesus, Jesus was tempted by all of these things. But he kept his focus on the Father. And that's when Jesus was here, he showed us. He showed us how it's possible to walk in the things of God and keep focused on God and his word. That's what helps us take our eyes off of the things of the world and stop realizing that, the pasture is greener on the other side. But the thing is this, we can't see God as the shepherd if we don't see ourselves as the sheep. I'm going to say that again. If we can't, we're not going to be able to see God as our shepherd if we ourselves don't see ourselves as the sheep. But not only that, that we are a sheep that needs a shepherd. I have to laugh when I was reading all these different things about like Max Lucado and Rick Warren and a number of other ones about the sheep and the shepherd. I remember Max Lucado in reading one of his, he goes, why couldn't God compare us to a dolphin instead of a sheep? Dolphins are at least a little smarter. So why did he compare us to sheep? But the thing is this, we know that without God, we are nothing. We can do nothing. But it's us that he loves. It's us that he gave a soul, a spirit, because he loves us. He loves mankind. And because of that, there's a relationship. The shepherd represents a close and intimate relationship with his sheep. He knows each sheep by name. Now remember last week when I talked about relationship and I said there's a lot of firsts that take place in a relationship? between the Father and us. God first loved us. God gave his first, his one and only begotten Son. He gave his first again in this relationship. He gave his Son Jesus. And then the next thing he did as far as first is that he gave his Son as a sacrifice to take our place on the cross. So Jesus came and took our place, paid the price that he did not owe, for a debt we could never, ever pay for. So with that, this relationship, this intimate relationship that God has with us doesn't only consist of first, it consists of God as our shepherd who's concerned about us, who cares about us. And we think, well, we're just a flock. We're just a flock of sheep. No, God sees each one of us individually. He knows every hair on our head. He knows the number of every hair on our heads. He knows our coming and our going. He knows what we need and are the desires of our heart. He knows when we are lost, when we don't even know we're lost. How many of us know somebody who doesn't know God, who doesn't know Jesus, and they say, oh, I'll get to heaven. I'm a good person. Sounds lost to me, right? Because they don't know the truth. They're lost. But even when we know that God is our shepherd and that we are his sheep, we still go through days where we don't realize we're lost, maybe, or overwhelmed about a situation or a circumstance, or we're weighed down by something that's, you know, just been really on our minds lately. That's being lost, in a sense. That's being lost. So as sheep, we have to remind ourselves every single day that we have the need of a shepherd. In Matthew 18, it says the shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one, that one that's lost. And I couldn't have worded it any simpler than this or any better than this, so I want to read it to you. It says, he has made every provision to find us through his Son, Jesus. That before Jesus came, we were all lost. But when he sent his Son, Jesus, he made a way for everyone to come and be a part of his family. You know, when I said Jesus, when God sent Jesus, Jesus was the first son of that family, of the family of God. But we, because we accepted Christ as our Savior, are the brethren. We are now a part of that family because we say, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep, but I am part of your family. Psalms 23 says, I shall not want. Notice that. It doesn't say, I shall not need. It says, I shall not want. God's not only concerned about our needs, but he's also concerned about the desires of our heart. Today when we prayed for other people, we had a desire that they, you know, their prayer be answered. That's why we come together. We have a desire to take our faith and mix it with your faith because we have that. We want that same type of relationship with each other as we do with the Father. We want to be a part of each other's lives. We want to mix our faith together so that we can pray and stand in faith and believe that that prayer that means so much to you gets answered. David talks about, he says, when he says to, in Psalms 23, I shall not want. Well, when David says that, there's two things that we need to really take note of when he says that. When he's saying, I shall not want, he's talking to God. He's saying, I shall not want. The first thing is, there are areas only God himself can fulfill, and he will fulfill them. Only God. How many of us have gone to God with a situation that you know that you know there's no way that's going to be fulfilled unless God does it? There's no way other than when God does it, because it isn't going to happen otherwise. So David is saying, I know that when I go to my Father, that he is going to hear me and he's going to fulfill it. It might not be in our exact time. It might not be exactly the way you thought it would be, but it will be fulfilled. Number two, the other reason is David says, I made the decision. He acted upon his faith. I made a decision not to desire anything outside the will of God. He made a decision. How many of us have heard where, you know, as sheep, if they follow, if one sheep goes this way, the rest of them go the same direction? I read last night, again, as I was going through that a little bit, that if one sheep even accidentally falls off a ledge, a cliff, the others will jump because they just follow each other. They just keep following each other. They don't realize the consequences. They just do it. Well, as silly as this might sound, when we're in the world and we have our eyes on the things of the world, isn't that what we do? Isn't that because we don't have the knowledge of the Word of God in us? When we get so focused on the things of the world, we're so captivated, so tempted by some of the things that go on in the world, and we want to be so much a part of it. You know, we're all older now. We've already been there, done that. And we saw no peace and comfort in that, that's for sure. We've learned through the years that, you know, as teenagers, you want to look like this person. You want to act like this person. You wish you were that person. Or if I looked like her, I could go out with the good-looking football player. You know, or I just wish I could dress like her. Or I wish I was as muscular as he is. You know, we have all these things that come at us and tempt us. So David says that I know that I am satisfied. I am satisfied because he is the shepherd, I am the sheep. I find satisfaction in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I can find comfort. I can find peace. So now I'm going to go a little bit different about the sheep and the shepherd. You know, like the sheep's wool, our lives, our habits, our personalities, our choices reflect where we've been, what we've done, how we feel. So I want to share a story about Gracie the sheep. Now, Gracie must have gotten lost and maybe was lost for a year or whatever, and the shearer found her. Or this person rescued her and found her, and they were going to shear her. Well, they kind of wondered, where was she at? That nobody found her before now. Well, what they realized was when they started shearing her, they found little souvenirs inside her wool. Such souvenirs like that would tell them where she was living or where she had been. Or maybe the circumstances or the situations that she might have experienced during the time that she was lost. And here's some good examples of that. So when they started shearing her, they found whole pieces of kernel corn in her fur or in her wool, telling them that she must have found a cornfield and she must have survived by eating corn. Or as they continued shearing her, they found seeds and flowers, and they found cockaburrs. Where do you find cockaburrs at? In the timber, right? Or maybe seeds and flowers. Maybe she was just in a meadow someplace or in a thicket. But it tells them, it gives them an idea of where she's been, how she survived. Then lastly, as they, again, were shearing her, she had so much fur on her. But again, because they're shearers and they, you know, this is what they maybe do for a living, they have a good idea by the thickness of their wool. Oh, she hasn't been taken care of for a couple years. So they see the amount of wool, but they also see if the wool is really matted, like the story I shared earlier about the one that was so matted you couldn't even separate the wool. It was so bad. So with that, like Gracie's wool reflects her life, her actions, her experiences in her life, our life, our words, our actions, our attitudes, our choices, and our experiences, our circumstances, when we look, when people look at us, what do they see? They're not going to see wool. But what they might see is fear and doubt on the outside, maybe anger or bitterness or unforgiveness. That's the wool I'm talking about when it comes to us. Like Gracie, whose wool made her hot, it also was heavy, and it probably smelled pretty bad. We come to realize that because of maybe our fear or doubt or whatever it is, that we too, like that sheep, Gracie, who needed a shearer or a shepherd, we too need a shepherd. Not because, well, I'm a child of God. I don't need a daily time with God where maybe he has to discipline me. It's not for you to decide. It's for God, who is the shepherd, who wants to maybe steer us in a direction that we don't even think that he wants us to go. The shepherd that can relieve the burdens that weigh us down and hold us back from God's very best in our lives. Now I want to share one last small story here. And this is about a gentleman. His name is Philip Keller. He actually is an author, and he wrote a book called The Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. Well, actually, this Philip was a shepherd at one time. That was his trade. He actually lived in Africa, and he moved to Canada. I suppose he was probably a shepherd in Canada. He writes that he took his sheep to the best pastures where they knew that they were being fed well and that he was taking good care of them. That's what a shepherd does. He wants the best for his sheep. But he tells about this story of this one particular beautiful little female sheep. He called her Miss Gadabout. Miss Gadabout. The thing about this particular sheep was that she had a tendency that when they were put in the pasture, they had a fence and everything, she had a tendency, instead of being with the rest of the group, she had a tendency to walk the fence. She'd walk on the inside of the fence, and she kept looking out over the fence. She kept admiring everything else outside the fence. That's why he called her Miss Gadabout, because she was looking for greener pastures. She was looking for the things of the world. She never seemed to be content. If only Miss Gadabout would have stopped and focused on the shepherd, that discontent that she had, she would have experienced when she looked at the shepherd, she would have experienced content, peace, because only the Father can give us that righteousness. Only the Father can give us that kind of peace. Only the Father can give us the rest that not just our bodies need, but our spirits need, our mind needs. Our shepherd covers every base from everything that we need physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, our soul, everything that we need. He touches every base. The world, when we think about the things that we get from the world, they decay, they rust, they break. But the gift that Father gives us of righteousness and peace, those things never break. They never grow old. They never decay. His gifts are eternal gifts. Last week I talked about we get a small taste of the fruits of the Spirit here: love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We get all those gifts here, but they're just a small portion of what God has waiting for us there. We don't have to earn those gifts. All we have to do is receive them. But today, I ask you, in closing, do you realize that you are a sheep? Because if you realize that you are a sheep, you know that if you are a sheep, you are in need of a shepherd. As sheep, we must rely on the shepherd, knowing that he disciplines us simply because he loves us, knowing that he leads us, guides us, protects us, cares for us simply because he loves us. So when we yield to our shepherd, we show him that we trust him, that we rest in him, we find our peace and our joy in him, that we love him. And as sheep, when we do that, we're acknowledging to God how completely reliant we are on him as our shepherd. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand for our closing hymn, number 218. Your hands. I know some of you might not be used to this, but you know what? When we do this, we're extending ourselves. We're stretching our faith, and we're reaching out to the shepherd. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us for